then, I'd call time out, let him think about it some. So that way we were able to win for the basketball team. That was it. We took everybody. It was a big year, big deal my senior year when we finally had to cut somebody. We didn't have enough uniforms. But we are a small school of 220 students, and we were playing in the after-school tournaments, and we were playing a large Lutheran school from Kenosha. And we had gained enough confidence and enough ability that we were able to beat that much bigger school than us. And next day, the headlines in the paper read, "David beats Goliath." That was the greatest victory in our school history. But you know what? Self-confidence will only take you so far. Because we won that game against Shoreland Lutheran. The next game, we were up against Racine Lutheran, and they blew us out of the arena. Your confidence can take you so far, but your confidence in and of itself is not going to take you places where we want to go as Christians. A person who has the Lord as his confidence can go all the way. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, the scriptures say. And in Proverbs 25:19, it says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint." Now, you think about that. Now, I've never had a foot out of joint, but I have had a broken tooth. I remember one day sitting there chewing on a hard piece of candy, and all of a sudden I felt something in my mouth crack, and there was something in there that was not just candy. It was a part of my tooth, and that hurt. And the Bible says that confidence in man is like that. It's like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Can you relate to me on either of those? You ever had an injury? That old body let you down, didn't it? Confidence in an unfaithful man is like that. Our confidence is not in the flesh, but our confidence is in the Lord. "The Lord shall be my confidence," the wisest person who ever lived wrote in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26. Confident Christianity. How is your confidence? There are three areas. Turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. I want to point out to you today that one of the underlying themes of 1 John is how to have a confident Christianity. That's what 1 John is written about. How we can have a confident Christianity, how we can be confident in our relationship with the Lord and in our walk with Him. John wants us to be confident in that relationship. And so he mentions this word confidence quite a few times. In first time he mentions it is in chapter 2 and verse 28. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Jesus Christ is going to come someday. We want to be ready. We want to be confident at this very moment that I and you are in a right relationship with Him, so that when He comes, we will not be ashamed at His coming. There's nothing in our life that we would be ashamed of or want to have hidden, but rather we could rejoice in His appearing. If we are looking for Him and we're expecting His return, then we know that we are confident of what He has accomplished in our life, and we are ready to meet Him. But I know that if I'm not confident, Lord, I don't want You to come right now. And we would desire Him to put off His coming. And then our passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning for our message is 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." There is our key verse. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Our heart is either going to be confident toward God or it's going to be condemning. One of the two, confidence or condemnation. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwell in him, and he in him. And hereby we know, see the confidence there? We know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And then one other verse. Over to chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. This is the verse you've probably heard. You've probably stood on this verse. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know. Again, the confidence. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Confident Christianity. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing and your anointing upon your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that if there is anybody here whose heart condemns them, that this morning they would make that right with you and their heart would be made whole, that they could leave here today confident in their relationship and in their walk and in their knowledge of you. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So we want to look today at how we can have a confident relationship with God, how we can walk confidently with him. If you have confessed sin, you know that it is forgiven. If you have believed in Christ, you know that you have eternal life. When you pray according to the will of God, you can be sure that your prayer not only has been heard, but the thing that you asked for will be granted. These are just some of the things that confidence is addressed here by John. Also, throughout this book of 1 John, there is an emphasis on honesty, because genuine confidence is based upon a proper response to the truth. That is the meaning of verse 19 there in chapter 3. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Notice the words before him. In these verses, John is not talking about the confidence that I display publicly. He's talking about the time when we are alone with God in our prayer closet at home or wherever it might be. At that moment, we can have confidence with God. In the privacy of our own home, in the privacy of our own chambers of our heart, are we confident with him there? With the knowledge that he knows everything there is to know about us, there is nothing revealed, there is nothing that is hidden from him. You know, really, this constitutes the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the continual awareness that God is watching and weighing all the thoughts, actions, and attitudes that I might have. And in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26, it says this: in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. A person who fears the Lord has a strong confidence in the Lord. We would tend to think, well, that would be the other way around. When we talk about fear here, we're not talking about being afraid of God. We are talking that God is aware of our life and what's going on, so that we do have a right relationship and attitude toward him. And if we have that right relationship, that true and honest relationship with him, we have a strong confidence when we approach him and when we're in his presence. When I am alone in prayer on my knees, Christy, when I come face to face with God, do I have confidence? When I am bowing my head in worship and bear my heart to God, and he's passing by my way, do I have confidence to reach out and touch him? Or do I have confidence to say, Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me? When I am confused and my life seems out of control, and there I am driven to seek shelter in the presence of God, am I confident? See, in those moments, our hearts will do either one of two things. Our hearts will be confident or they will be condemning. Really, those are the only two options when we come into the presence of God. Our heart will either be filled with confidence or it will be condemning. Confidence or condemnation. And that, John explains, has a direct bearing on our prayer life. Let's just suppose today that Debbie has made a couple of batches. Around our house, it's probably three. Three batches of chocolate chip cookies. One batch doesn't go very far. By the time everybody has one, they're gone. So we make bulk. And let's suppose that she has made just a huge batch of Nestle Toll House cookies, chocolate chip cookies. Fresh baked. You can kind of taste them already, right? Hot out of the oven. Loaded with chocolate chips. What is the purpose of her making those cookies? Do you think she made them just to get experience? Not anymore. She might have done that back in her teen years or something like that. She might have baked for experience. She doesn't do that anymore. Do you think she baked those cookies just so she could decorate the house, lay them on beautiful platters around the house? No, she made those cookies for our family's enjoyment. So one of my son sees the jar of cookies, and they have been taught that they have to ask us. And so they come and they ask us for a fresh-baked chocolate chip Nestle Toll House cookie. They make their request boldly, enthusiastically, confidently. Mom, can I have a chocolate chip cookie? You see the confidence that radiates from that child, because the child knows that mom made those cookies for the family, for them to be enjoyed. But let's suppose that this particular child had just been caught a few minutes earlier with his hand in the cookie jar stealing a cookie. Do you think he would have been very confident to come to mom and say, Mom, can I have a cookie? If he had been caught in the act of stealing, he probably wouldn't be as confident that he was going to get a cookie if he asked. His heart would be condemning him. It would be saying things like, how dare you even think about asking for a fresh-baked chocolate chip Nestle Toll House cookie after trying to steal one? Do you think you deserve a cookie after what you did? And he would be feeling that way despite the fact that the cookies were baked in part for him. That's what John is talking about in this section, being able to assure our hearts before God so that we have confidence in our prayer life, so that we can come to him and say, God, can I have this? God, would you answer this prayer request? Lord, would you do this for me? And if our heart doesn't condemn us, we ask with full confidence because God has promised that he would act on our behalf. And part of the blessing of being a Christian is God will give these things to his children so we can ask in confidence. Some things are necessary here. We find, first of all, approval in verses 18 through 19. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The issue in this book is not about God's acceptance, but it's about having God's approval. And the two are not the same. Acceptance and approval are not the same. Acceptance is based upon our relationship to Christ. John calls his readers here children. He calls them beloved. He's not questioning their salvation. He's affirming it. These are children of God. And yet, we realize that sometimes those promises are based upon relationship, not necessarily behavior. But approval is based on obedience. Acknowledging the truth versus applying the truth. Here's where the honesty comes in. Do I merely acknowledge the truth, or do I actually joyfully apply the truth? John gives us an illustration in verses 17 and 18. He's talking about seeing Christians in need and saying to him, "I love you, brother," but doing nothing to help him. When the Word of God tells us that it encourages us to love one another, not just in word, but in deed, in actions, what we do for them. When we love in word only, our witness rings hollow. It lacks authenticity. When we love in word and in deed, we know that we are of the truth. We know that the truth is being applied to our lives. We know it's being lived out in our daily experience. That knowledge allows us to assure our hearts before God. Confidence that is not based on this kind of honesty is a false confidence. I've seen people have false confidence. They thought they could do something, or they thought they were trusting in something, but I knew they weren't trusting in the real thing. Their confidence may be genuine, but it's misplaced. Misplaced confidence. We need to be careful that we're not a people that's just all talk and no substance. It's easy to become a Christian who has all the right convictions but lack real compassion and involvement in people's lives. And so the first one there is acceptance, approval. The second thing is assurance. Now, from time to time, every Christian will have a condemning heart. I mean, let's be real. None of us are perfect, so there are times when our heart is going to condemn us. We feel guilt. We know that we don't have God's approval because of the way we acted. And what does that do? It robs us of our peace. Robs us of our peace. It keeps us from enjoying our relationship with God. The secret to avoiding a condemning heart is to maintain an honest relationship with God. The reason John gives for a condemning heart is what we commonly call hypocritical Christianity. We say, but we don't do. Our life lacks authenticity. But really, who are we deceiving? Are we deceiving God? Nah, he knows everything. And the reason my heart does condemn me is because I know that he knows. Right? In my heart, I know that God knows. And that's why my heart is condemning. How can I be comfortable before him? How can I ask of him in confidence if my heart is condemning me? I can't. And so what we need to do is we need to have a confident heart. Now, when my heart doesn't condemn me, then I am confident toward God. When I know in my heart that I have God's approval, then I enjoy my relationship with him. You know, I think a lot of people don't have quality prayer time is because whenever they do try to pray, their heart condemns them. And rather than getting it right before God, they just get up off their knees and say, "It's too hard to pray. I keep thinking about everything else, and it's too hard to pray." Don't let a condemning heart rob you of your peace, rob you of your relationship with God. When it's so easy to get rid of a condemning heart, simply through confession, agreeing with God that what I did was not right. And God, I see why I don't have your approval in this matter. Simply confess it to him, agree with him, and repent of it. And your heart will no longer condemn you. Again, it doesn't mean that we'll have a perfect performance. I believe it means rather this: my life is an open book before God. That's what I think it means. David had a perfect heart, but was he sinless? No way. But his heart was laid open before God. And that's why I believe that we should be. Not that we're going to be perfect, but Lord, my life is an open book. You can touch any area of my life you want. If my heart condemns me in this matter, Lord, you're speaking to me about that, and there's something I need to do about it. Thank you, Lord. It means that to the best of our knowledge, we're walking by faith, believing on the name of God's Son. Verse 23. To the best of my knowledge, I'm being obedient to his word, doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 22. And that brings us to answered prayer. We have approval. We have assurance, and we have answered prayer. Verses 22 through 24. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Our confidence allows us to ask God for things that we need. Our confidence before God causes us to expect to receive that for which we have asked. Let me illustrate this in closing with a story that a missionary told. He said, last week I took my children to a restaurant. My six-year-old son asked if he could say grace. As we bowed our heads, he said, God is good, God is great, thank you for the food. And I would even thank you more if mom gets us ice cream for dessert. And then he closed his prayer with, and liberty and justice for all. Amen. Along with the laughter of the people that were sitting around from other customers, there was one particular woman nearby who made the remark, that's what's wrong with this country. Kids today don't even know how to pray. Asking God for ice cream. Why, I never. Hearing this, my son burst into tears and asked me, did I do wrong? Is God mad at me? As I held him and assured him that he had done a terrific job, and God was certainly not mad at him, an elderly gentleman approached the table. He winked at my son and said, I happen to know that God thought that was a great prayer. Really? My son asked. Cross my heart. Then, in a low whisper, he added, indicating the woman whose remark had started the whole thing, too bad she never asked God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. Naturally, I bought my kids ice cream at the end of the meal. But listen to this. My son, a six-year-old boy, let's not forget that. My son stared at his for a moment and then did something I will remember the rest of my life. He picked up his sundae, without a word, walked over and placed it in front of the woman. With a big smile, he told her, here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, and my soul is good already. That boy's prayer demonstrated confidence, did it not? The innocence of a six-year-old child. The faith of a little child. That boy's prayer demonstrated confidence. And you know, that lady's remark, though, reminds me something about her heart. Her heart condemned her before God. You can be sure that if she didn't ask God for ice cream, she didn't ask God for other things either. She probably asked him for precious few things in her life. My question today is, how is your heart? How is your confidence level? When you go to God in prayer, when there's nobody else around, when it's just you and God, what is the level of your confidence? You see, either your heart condemns you or your heart is filled with confidence toward God. It's one or the other. John talks about confident Christianity. And so I just want to leave you with that question. How is your confidence? What is the level of your confidence before God? Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Maybe you've never really even thought about it. But on reflection this morning, you know that your heart is condemning you. You're missing out on so much. You're missing out on the greatest relationship there is. A relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, you might be saved. I'm not questioning your salvation this morning. I'm not doing that. You have God's acceptance there. But you know deep down you don't have God's approval. Because there are things in your life that He disapproves of. And you know it. And that is blocking your relationship with Him so that you cannot go and ask Him for things confidently. You know, the Bible wants us to be able to go boldly before the throne of grace. With confidence, really, that's what it's talking about. To receive help in our time of need. Don't let anything stand in the way of having a confident walk with Jesus. And if you're here today, and every head is bowed and every eye is closed and people aren't looking around, it's none of your heart is none of their business. But your heart is condemning you. And you want to confess that, you want to acknowledge that and confess that to the Lord today, and you want to take care of that so that you can approach God confidently. I wonder if you would just raise your hand up and then down. Up to the Lord and then down. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. He sees your hand today. Better yet, He knows your heart. He knows your heart. Lord, I pray for those whose hearts are condemning them. Lord, we do thank You for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to let us know. We thank You, Lord, for healthy consciences that let us know when we are not in a right relationship with You. And now I pray, Lord, that You would pour out Your love and Your forgiveness and Your mercy upon those that have raised their hands today. And Lord, they would leave here today with a greater confidence in You. Lord, not a self-confidence, which can achieve for a while, but yet there's an end to it. Not a confidence that trusts in man, but a confidence that is based on the fear of the Lord and directed at You. Lord, we thank You for Your precious promises. We thank You for the answers to our prayers. And we thank You, Lord, that Your Spirit abides in us, the Spirit that You have given us, the Holy Spirit of God. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It'd be a good song to sing. Can we try to sing it? Yeah. What's the name of it? My All in All. Mike's looking to find that one. Let's stand as we sing this chorus, and we'll be dismissed in just a couple of moments.
You are my
everybody can leave here confidently today. And maybe you've gained a new confidence this morning because your heart is no longer condemning you. If you want, these altars are open. You can come and now you can pray. You can pray without a condemning heart, and you can pray confidently. And you can expect and you can watch God answer your prayers. So if you want to do that today, these altars are open. Now that your heart doesn't condemn you, you'll have a new freedom in your prayer life. Come, pray expectantly, and watch and see what the Lord can do. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you'd like to be dismissed, if you want to come and pray, these altars are open.